Welcome to the Two Moms and a Mic podcast. We are Briggs and Dodson, two seasoned moms with a collective of eight kids and an abundance of chaos. We bust ass, fail often, and love fiercely. We're queens with broken crowns. Our intention is to create a community for moms and parents surviving the modern suburban world raising teenagers. We also intend to drink. Join us for our raw episodes as we navigate stages of midlife while parenting multiple children and thriving with teenagers. Actually, they're trying to kill us. Raise your glasses and tune in. Cheers. Good morning, Briggs and Dodson are back. We feel like we were gone, but
we have been gone.
We've been gone. In the name of keeping these posts with our raw and real brand, we've been gone and we're back.
We're finally back. It's been quite the summer and quite the back to school process. So here we are. We're glad to be here.
This is our first morning together in a long time because the reality of our lives keeps us apart too much. We're going to catch up with each other and we're going to talk about everybody's favorite seasonal bullshit topic of back to school, but we're going to do it with our style. And we're calling this the Go the Fuck to School show. So before we catch up and before we talk about that, we really need the children to please go the fuck to school, we're going to give our little disclaimer because we're responsible.
And we're just trying to put it out there that in the name of our humor, sometimes we want to make sure that we also are putting out the vibe that we're also being very real and we're also talking about real topics that affect not only our lives, but a lot of people's lives. And some people might not dig it.
We don't feel like we need to explain why it's annoying to be suffocating underneath a number of children all summer and not be able to actually complete thoughts. We don't need to explain the fact that that brain damage is annoying. What we want to explain, I mean, it's kind of basic. We have the freedom to say, this is annoying. Go to school. You're causing us brain damage. Our listeners have the freedom. Well, people have the freedom to not listen. If you listen and you think that it's terrible to honestly express the fact that we want our kids to stop stomping on our cognition, then, you know, you don't have to listen. You don't have to like it. But
yeah,
we just wanted to say that because right during the season of back to school, I think sometimes moms put themselves into different camps, right? There's that camp of like, oh, here's your shit-ass bento box and I'm going to miss you and let's meditate when you get home. And that's fine. And then there's the camp of, would you please shut up and go out the door?
And don't let it hit you in your little ass on the way out.
If it hits you and it hurts your little ass, just keep moving.
Tough shit.
Keep walking.
Yeah, don't turn around or it's going to smack you in the face.
Saying. So, okay, freedom and love, and we're going to say what we want to say, and here we go.
Part of the reason why I love the title of Go the Fuck Back to School is because let's just say, like, what day are we on with school now? Day 9. Okay.
I don't know. I'm guessing.
So, well, we started school August 15th. That was the first day back.
So about 9.
Okay.
That's what it feels like.
And can I just say that I haven't had one out of the 9 days yet where all of my children have been out the door and at school. Not one. Circumstantial reasons and also, oh, we started with strep throat and then this kid had a cold and a sore throat. And out of 9 days, I've been home with the kids so far since school has started.
Hold tight. It'll happen. Or the weekend will come again.
I'm losing hope.
How many schools are you dealing with this year?
We narrowed it down to 3.
I'm assuming our listeners understand that we have a collective of 8 children because we've put that, I don't know, we've said it before, but
yes,
8 of them.
Collective of 8 children. And if you heard our first episode, in my family, we had 4 schools last year. We have narrowed it down to 3. So I guess that's good. How about you?
3 schools for the first time ever. And it's no joke.
It is no joke.
I'm adjusting because I've been very, very spoiled and conditioned to having only walkers. And now I'm expected to do this commuting bullshit and pickup line stuff. Oh, and there's an email sent out to the parents. When you're picking up your kid from the high school, please be respectful of others and be kind. Really?
Oh.
Do we need character development classes for moms and dads picking their kids up?
Well, it's a real rage issue. I mean, people lose their fucking mind in the car pickup line. I mean, like, carpool is no joke.
No.
It is no joke. And even if you were having like the best day, you will go to pick up your kids at school and you'll lose your mind.
Then
you'll ruin it.
Ruined and trashed.
Yes.
So I'm trying to figure this out. And I feel like for a long time, I've been able to have this mindset of, wow, this really sucks right now, but maybe it's an opportunity for whatever. I hate it completely.
Yeah.
No lie.
Yeah.
But I'm not one of the asshole parents driving all over people, even though I have a huge car. I am trying to view it as an opportunity to connect with my kid.
Absolutely. And I,
because I'm not dragging all of the other ones to that shit.
Right. Well, and I'm the opposite. So I've never had a walker.
We
do now, because for those of you that don't know, we just moved this summer. So now we live within walking distance of the schools. And where we used to live, we were not walking distance. So all of my kids had to ride the bus. And it was one of the reasons I wanted to move in the first place, was to be close to the school so they can get out the door and walk themselves to school.
It's the best.
It is. But at the high school level, if you're not living across the street from the high school, you're picking up and you're dropping off, and it's ugly.
I feel like I'm the furthest point with no bus. Like, you know, the little boundaries.
Yeah, you have like a mile or something. Yeah.
Even less. I mean, I think two streets up, the kids get a bus. Now I'm suddenly in the worst spot ever.
Yes.
With three other kids at home, and I'm supposed to leave and have all of this like luxurious time to just fucking sit around and be like, oh, I have a half hour now. I'm telling you right now, when it starts to be snowy and salty and everything, shit's going down. I don't know how I'm going to do that.
No,
I really don't.
That's why I told my kids, I'm like, it's nice out. Walk to school. I don't care if we live too close to the school and you don't get bus service. Like, it's a beautiful day. Walk your ass to school. We had to listen to our parents talk that shit about they walked 10 miles to school in the snow. I mean,
they were lying.
Such liars. They just wanted us out of the house too.
I know.
That's all they wanted us to do, is to get out of the house in the morning. And just, so, I mean, and we're living that now.
All three schools you guys can walk to, or no?
No.
No. Okay.
One of the schools in my world is an hour away.
So we're going to save the details of your complicated education world for another time, because we can only be so vulnerable.
We can only talk. Yeah. We can only get through the schools that are down the street today.
It's fine. It's still a win. You can always find something that's a win in your day, right?
You have to. I think that everybody,
even though you haven't had a day off yet, you're still finding something that you're winning at.
Right. Right.
Doing the dishes?
I make my kids do the dishes.
Okay, good. Yep. Oh my God. For the first time ever, we have a functional chore chart.
Yeah.
I was starting to lose my crap, because God did not make me to follow you people and pick up the stuff that you seem to not care about.
Right. I think that's just like a natural evolution of raising kids, is they're just messy and they're just, you know, like, that's just the way it is. But I think training them young is good.
Well, I didn't. I failed on all of that.
Well,
I tried.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Well,
you didn't fail.
Now, I let the detail-oriented child that does stuff better than I do make an actual chore chart. Because I was like, well, empower yourselves. You guys make it.
Right.
Make a rough draft. Have everybody sign off on the
chores. And then you can't say that you, like, you are in control of the chore chart.
No,
like,
it's their law.
You can't complain about it. You're the ones that created it. For some reason, chore charts never worked in my family.
Well, they never worked for me either. This is the first time. And I'm sure it's the novelty, but there's nothing more satisfying than a dry erase marker on a piece of laminated plastic.
Right. I know. I'm telling you.
That shit's exciting.
It's exciting. It just
Check
never
off
worked.
The little box.
I know. You kind of have to go through and just see what works for your family and what works in the dynamic of your house. I tried for years to do chore charts. I mean, I bought like expensive chore charts.
I know.
I was like ordering stuff.
That's the thing. We should make one. We should make a chore chart that's called like pick your shit up.
So what I have found, and are we going into like the behavioral part of this?
About chores?
Yeah.
No, because it's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
I just quick thought of that for a second, because I was thinking about trying to get, like, that is the one thing I like about back to school. Is
routine.
There some rhythms, please. Even if the rhythm is, oh, I only got those, the school only called me three times today. So my fourth grader now, who is really a primal being that doesn't belong in modern education at all, just a little freckled version of the Jungle Book kid.
She is.
I keep getting these phone calls from the 630. Oh, you know, she said her head hurts, or she's creative. Tummy hurts. She keeps, you know, rotate it. So yeah. I'll buy that.
Right.
No,
right.
She does it every year and they know. No fever.
Why is she avoiding?
It's boring.
Because it's too boring.
It's horrible.
I mean, you know, I have one of those in my family too. Mm-hmm. And it started in fifth grade.
Mm-hmm. The not wanting to go.
The avoidance behavior. And then that just blew up into like full blown.
Well, I think there's a thing behaviorally, once you realize that that's effective, you don't want any kid to think that they can't go to school, mm-hmm. right? You want right. them to think it's the law that they have to live or die by.
Right. But you might also find yourself in a position where you want your child to know that it's the law. And so you might get to a point where you might call law enforcement over to your house mm-hmm.
to say, could you
to explain that or even to like sit at the end of their bed
right,
and tell them that. And for 99% of the child population, I think that would work.
I agree.
You know,
aren't like, we lucky that we got those little statistical outliers under our care and nurturing?
So here's what I want to know just about like you and I in our own specific situations. If we are in that 1%, mm-hmm. why don't we win the lottery?
Well, we have to play it.
I have played the lottery. I don't win it
like twice.
I have been in the 1% category for multiple things in my life.
Let's play the lottery.
I need to go play the goddamn lottery.
We're going to do that. Okay. I was talking to a friend the other day though. Oh, wait, no, this is something I want to say. This is so funny because this is a thing now where people say asking for a friend. What does that mean?
That means you're asking for yourself.
Well, why are you saying asking for a friend when you're not? Why are we lying?
Because
are you really asking for yourself or for your friend?
Because they're trying. No, their friend can ask for them fucking selves.
I don't get it. I mean, I think it's funny when people are like, oh, where's the most, what, organic pet groomer or some stupid question? Asking for a friend. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
But I think people used to actually ask for a friend, like in the 80s.
I think in the 80s. But I think now it's just, you just say that
because you're
to prove that you're asking for yourself, but you're trying to be funny.
And you're trying to be funny and shy.
It's very passive aggressive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it a way of saying, I realize that my questions is a little bit stupid or no?
That's absolutely what it means.
Oh, okay.
It's absolutely.
I don't like shit like that. I'd rather be direct. I'm not asking for a friend. If I'm asking, it's actually for me.
Right. It's the 1% of people that are actually asking for a friend.
Okay. I do have a friend though, for real, that's not me, that has a child that realized that school was somehow a creative option. I was just talking to her about it the other day. I felt
it's hard not to like go into your own mind because that's all like the experience that you can draw from. But where does that come from?
Okay. I think I don't know where the child first realizes that. I really don't. But it's my understanding that because of all of the social trauma with what the pressures of kids today and things that have happened in the schools, that there is some sort of like social work option built in.
Yes.
For children that have gone through, I don't know the details of it, and I hope I never have to find out.
Is this a high school age kid?
Yeah. I think there's programs in place now that are more creative for children that for some reason truly just are like, I don't feel that I can do it.
I feel that with us growing up in the 80s, 90s.
That didn't exist.
There was, you either fit in the box or you didn't, but you were still forced to be in the box and you had to get through it somehow, mm-hmm. whether you liked it or not. It was absolutely not in a million years an option. Like, for example, like I was the oldest of four kids. My mom, if I missed the bus, I actually just never missed the bus. I don't know how I never missed the bus. It wasn't an option for me to miss the bus. If I missed the bus, I did not have a ride. My mom had little babies at home. And then by the time even I was in high school and she did go back to work, I didn't miss the bus.
Right.
I just, it didn't happen.
I feel, okay, so this is what I feel like if I was to speak for, I'm talking for my friend, Briggs. Okay,
talking
so
for
now
a friend.
If you missed the bus, well, there's 9,000 other options. There's a tuk-tuk. There's your mother.
Tuk-tuk.
I offered that. I'm like, why don't you get on the tuk-tuk? Oh, it's too embarrassing. I don't want to sit in this goddamn high school traffic. You can You can hide it behind a bush and jump on that tuk-tuk. Okay, so there's like six different creative options, right? Instead of just, well, you missed the bus.
And Mom, can you call me an Uber? School?
No.
Mom, can you call me an Uber? My kids have asked me that before.
I would if I didn't have to sit in that stupid traffic. I would.
But
I have three other ones at home that I'm supposed to not have on their screens getting moving in their studies. But instead, I'm sitting in the traffic listening to this stupid rap music with my kid.
I mean, yes,
go back, Dodson, opportunity to connect with the high schooler. But also, I have three other ones at home that are just dicking around while I'm sitting there.
I know. Same. I'm at the point where now my oldest daughter is a senior and she actually has a car, but of course got in her first car accident at the end of July. And so here we are at the end of August and she actually still does not have her car back.
Does she have a loaner?
No, she's not old enough to drive a rental car.
Oh, that's a thing?
Oh, yeah. You have to be 25.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so she has no car.
Are you driving?
I am, or my husband has been helping.
Good.
Because now that two of them go to the same high school, they both have to leave like pretty early in the morning. And I cannot wait until she gets her car back.
It's like,
I'm starting to stalk the auto body shop guy. I actually called him yesterday. I'm like, this isn't funny anymore. Like, fix the goddamn car.
Help, please.
Like, her car was not totaled. It had some damage, but it's been a month.
It's long enough.
I need my, I need her car back.
Someone's going to start to lose their mind. I do want to say that I think it's, even though our kids don't, our high schoolers don't think it's cool to hang out because at that point being a boy versus a girl is not that fun and your girl's older. I do think it's wonderful though that they're all back together from preschool. They don't care, but we think it's sweet.
I think it's awesome.
It's great.
Yeah.
I hope that we can find some material at some point to lovingly embarrass them without ruining their high school lives since they're there together.
Well, these times, and just like you're talking about, like the outside social influences, the social media, the phones, the difference in education is influential. Like we are no longer, there's always that saying, like it starts at home. You know, everything starts at home. It starts at home. It starts at home. That is true. To a point, because once you get tweens and once you get teenagers, they start to spend more time away from home than they do at home. And so much of their influence is beyond your control. And so much of the time, it is something that you would never want your kids to know or want your kids to experience or teach them.
I feel like it slowly like erodes our investment. Like I don't matter anymore because someone with the last name of Kardashian matters more than me.
Exactly. And that right there is one of the Kardashians is a whole other talk show, but I'm telling you, that is a huge part of our society that is influencing the kids in not a good way.
Well, it even has its own name, right? Don't they call those people on Insta influencers?
Yes.
I don't like that. Yeah. We should be momfluencers.
I'm a momfluencer.
Can we make that?
Ooh, I like that. How did you just like roll up with that
name? I don't
know,
because I think we should take our power back. Momfluencers.
Momfluencers.
We need to do, we're just going to be them now. Because neither one of us is an ogre. We can do it.
I kind of feel like Shrek today.
Okay, you know how when a daughter is like six, it doesn't matter if the mom is frumpy or weird. The mom is still like the idolized queen of the world, right? Everything like
they don't
mommy.
See from.
They don't.
No, they see you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then there's supposed to be that natural rebellion. If mom was cool because, I don't know, she wore a belt, then when you were six, you're like, I'm going to wear a belt. And then you're 12 and you're like, God, no belts.
Right.
Right. The anti-mom thing.
Right.
But now, rather than just taking like the flip-flop rebellion and then bouncing back later, they're sucked into this whole crazy like influencer vortex bullshit.
And that's exactly what it is. It's a vortex.
We can't keep up, even though we're not ogres. What mom can keep up with the influencers?
You can't.
No.
No. And unfortunately, the kids then have to kind of circle back again to what is important and what is real and what is good for them in their lives.
I think that's getting harder and harder for them every day because they can live in these devices.
They do. And they do. So at this point, I mean, I do screen time
Now we're talking about social media, obviously.
I know. We are.
It's fine.
Because here it goes.
We're catching up.
Yes. This is just us rambling because we have some time with our kids at school today.
I know.
Well, actually, almost all of our kids. Gosh, we were so close.
Here, I have to see what the percentage is. Let me do 7 out of 8 and see.
We are so close.
It's close enough.
7 out of 8 kids.
It's not bad. I haven't had any sickness yet at all.
Yeah.
I mean, the fourth grader that wants to be Mowgli instead pretends. Oh my God. Even this morning, she's doing a little messenger iCloud crap to me. She's trying to make these little videos like cough, cough.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Mm-hmm. All right. How do you do a fraction in this? Do you know how? Shit if I don't know how to do a fraction. How do you do the percentage
just do
of 7
divided
out of
8? By 8?
Oh, see? Asking for a friend. 87% of our children are in school today.
See?
That's a high number.
Yeah.
That's good.
It is.
I bet teachers don't have it that good. They can't say 87% of their class is at school today.
Oh, no. No.
We win.
And that's what we have to look at. We have to look at certain things as a win.
Wait, yeah. What are our wins for today?
Oh, I think we should do that every day. Because if we're going to be momfluencers...
Yeah, we're the momfluencers now. I'm going to add that hashtag to the post.
You should.
Because I'm taking that for us.
But what I kind of want to pass along with doing our podcast without like on top of all of our like daily rambling is I would like to not only just for us personally to focus on wins, but for anybody that's listening to take a moment to stop and think about a win that they've had.
I like that. I think that we all do that, even if we don't acknowledge that we're doing it.
I don't do it.
You don't do that?
Mm-mm.
Yes, you do. You do that thing. If stuff's really hard and heavy on you, of course you say, well, I'm breathing, I'm walking. That's a win.
No, I don't.
You and, don't really? Mm-mm. Oh
no.
My God, you have to.
And it's one of my biggest weaknesses. And so I think that if we try to like
be purposeful about it.
Yes. If we're intentional about it and we set an intention during our
while we're talking?
Yeah.
Oh, we should.
Because honestly, like that's something that will help me. And I think if it helps, I know you're much better at setting intentions than I am.
That's just part of my survival.
I need it to be. And I actually just don't take the moment to myself to set an intention. And I know that, and it's like all around me all the time. Like a podcast I'm listening to, a book I read.
But people are doing that?
That people like start your day with an intention. Set your goals for the day. Write an intention.
Oh, I'm not doing all that.
No. I mean, even if you just say it in your mind, like when you wake up in the morning, like if you set an intention for the day, or if you look for the win at the end of the day before you go to bed, or if you're just doing like some sort of a reflection or something, I know that I'm supposed to be doing that. And I know that that would probably be helpful, but I don't.
I do think it sounds neat to sort of open and close your day and brand it a little bit.
I agree. And I just need to do it.
I definitely say something to myself every morning when I start my day. Just because it's important. I don't remember where I read it, but I read something about doing these morning papers. I actually do this when the kids are in school. Not reading the morning paper. I do that too. Get up extra early so I can read that by
myself.
Like
an actual paper?
Yes. I like to read the newspaper.
You are
by
old school.
How do you get your news? Well, I read it in the newspaper.
Like you
I'm a weird
like you
outlier.
Get like black fingers?
I do.
Still?
I know. And I do that thing where you like, you crumple it and like fold it over.
Yes.
I love all of that.
Oh
I do.
God.
I don't like watching the news because I don't like being a passive receiver. I feel like I'm passive that way. Like I just have to hear what they decide to tell me. But in the paper, I can
choose what topics to read.
And
I love that.
So I do read the paper. But this thing, morning papers, I read, it was kind of along the lines of setting that intention. So every morning you would just write whatever came to you for a little bit. It wasn't anything overly specific.
I love that. I need to do that. I think it would actually change my mindset for the day.
Probably. Okay. You know? When we do the wins, though, we should do one that's tangible and intangible. Like, you know how moms have those things like about adulting and stuff where they're like, oh, all the kids are still breathing and they're half clothed and semi-fed. I win, right?
Yep.
I think the intangible is also so important.
An example would be what?
Like, did you take the moment to make eye contact with your child and really engage as a listener when they were talking to you? That's the kind of stuff I like more. I don't really care that much about my dishes or laundry. I think it can all fuck off forever.
Well, yeah, I agree.
But it's so valuable to me to be able to take moments like that.
Connection.
That's mm-hmm. what I'm looking for more at the end of the day. Don't really care if I clean the floor or not.
No. No, because I like to try to do like the 5-year thing or even 5 months. Like, what's that? Is it going to matter in 5 months?
Oh, no.
So like, I like to take that as like a guideline for if I'm worried about, you know, stupid things like my house, or like we just moved. We still have boxes that are not unpacked yet. And I'm still trying to get cabinets organized and closets organized. And it is a huge, huge undertaking. You did it a few years ago. Like, you know how that goes with the kids, and you had little ones and mm-hmm. like babies at
boxes
the time.
Everywhere.
Like, it's overwhelming.
I know. That moment of being overwhelmed, I think, is when your strategy is so powerful though.
I agree. Because is this going to matter in 5 months, 5 years? No. Is it going to matter in 5 months or 5 years if you take the time to connect with your kid? Like you said, make eye contact with them, take the moment to listen to what they're saying, engage in like a real conversation with them, so much more in depth than how was your day type thing. Then yes, that's going to matter in 5 years, 5 months,
especially
forever.
Especially if we can figure out how to be momfluencers and have us matter more than the influencers. I think on some level we do, but they just don't know it right now because they're being bombarded.
They are so connected to their devices and social media and all of that, that that's their visual.
Day I know. Do you think that we should get on TikTok and make like TikTok videos that they'll like about us?
Wait, just as a sidebar. Okay. So now I take it back about not doing the intentions every day, because last night as I was reflecting for a moment, I was like, I had a smile on my face because I sat here and had dinner with just Chase.
Isn't it the best when you get just one?
Yes.
I've given up that idea of having them all gather at the same time. They won't, but I love the one-to-one.
So my husband is huge on like, let's have a family dinner. Let's sit all down together.
I wish.
And he's like, but it happens sometimes, but most of the time not. Someone has football practice. Someone has this, someone has that. Fine. So last night I have dinner with Chase, and he is my freshman in high school. Sweet, sweet kid. Oh my gosh. This kid is like an old soul. And he sat down and he's like sharing with me all this TikTok stuff, right?
Aren't they funny?
They're so funny.
I love those.
I know. And for those that don't know TikTok, it's like the updated version of Musical.ly, right?
It's so much better though, the way that you can cut and slice the videos.
So much better.
Scenarios. They're hilarious.
So he was showing me, he's like, Mom, did you know that like our town and our schools, their actual high school that they attend,
yeah,
your daughter and my kids too, is like number one for best. Chase was just like all proud of
this. No, I love this. Are they winning the TikTok competition?
They're like, winning the TikTok competition. Highest numbers for multiple categories. Like first.
Wait, this is exciting.
First off, best schools in Illinois or whatever.
So this is where we need to get in as momfluencers and be the TikTok moms.
Seriously. Because so he's showing you all these TikTok videos of like all these kids that don't live in our community that are like, okay, so who has the cutest girls in Illinois? And then like all these, they're like cutting to all these different kids, teenagers that are like Naperville North, Naperville North, Naperville Central. Like they're talking about like all
that?
These different, yeah, they have the best.
I'll have to ask MK to show me that. I like that.
It sounds like.
No, I love TikTok. I think it's so funny.
But I mean, just the content, like, oh, who has the cutest girls? Who has the cutest boys? Who had, you know, but it's all important and fun for teens.
It is.
You know, I'm not saying that's the most important thing. I'm saying like.
But we did that. We just did it with paper.
We did. And I just saw like my son get all excited about something and wanting to share it with me. And he's like, oh, Mom, you should see how our school is blowing up on TikTok. And
I love that.
You know, and he was like so excited to show me these TikTok videos. And at the end of the day, I had a really fun connection with my kid.
Yeah, I like that.
And
did he do that? Did he show you that thing where like the individuals can get, there's something you get, like, I don't know, a ranking or a star from like number of views, like the most viewed.
Oh yeah. Deal. Well, that's what he was talking about. He was talking
my
about
freshman
it had like nine
one of those.
Oh, okay.
Like did one where it got some crazy high ranking or
that's
something.
That's awesome. Sometimes you just, as an adult and adults and parents that did not come from this generation, our first instinct, I feel like, is to be like, oh my God, I don't understand that. It's so stupid. Like, go back to the 80s where you just like folded up a note really cute, like a triangle.
And you listen to your Walkman.
Yes. Not even a Discman. Like, that's even too high tech.
I know it. But those were shitty though.
Those were stupid. They're too freaking big.
I didn't like those. That was stupid. No. You should have never made those.
No.
Walkman was the best.
No. But I think that it's important to find what makes your kid's heart set on fire. And then even if to your very core, you're like, I hate this shit. I hate this media shit. I hate these kids making all these videos and putting themselves out there. And there could be these creepers or, you know what I mean? Like, you could come up with a million different scenarios. But at the end of the day, if you made some sort of a connection with your kid, I think that is what matters in, again, like, the 5 years.
That's a good intangible one. I like that.
I'm glad you brought up TikTok.
TikTok all day long. I just set an account for myself. I don't know how to make them, but I have an account because I figured I should be part of it.
Oh, well, see, and I used to do that. Like, when my kids were younger and they were like, can I get an Instagram account? I'm like, only if I get an Instagram account and I follow you.
I know.
Like, you know, but again, this is a whole nother episode where we need to talk about like how we're the first generation of parents parenting this social media generation too.
I know. So this was good today. We did some good coverage as far as how it relates with back to school and like what you and I are doing with our newly freed up mind space.
Yes, I agree. But the back to school, I'm going to circle back around to get the fuck to school. We are at 87.5% today.
Mm-hmm.
I need it to be 100.
I know. Okay, wait, you know what's great about it not being 100 yet? You and I did not set a plan to do anything together at all. I'm obviously over here recording just because we're like, that's what we're going to do that day. But we didn't make a plan to do anything because they went back to school.
Right, right.
So since I didn't bring my bourbon over, when we hit 100%, now it'll be a thing.
I mean, that's going to have to be a major celebration.
We'll have a celebration. We'll go buy some earrings that your dog can eat and then buy the earrings again and have a bourbon. They have really good earrings right now at Anthro.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Yeah. My dog ate the earrings.
We'll do something like that.
Yeah.
We'll get a lunch that's not a protein bar and a leftover apple.
I know.
And a bourbon.
I'm starving.
And we'll go buy earrings and not let dogs eat them.
Yes. 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 I love it. I love it.
Okay. I like that we rambled. Well, because it's genuine to ramble, but I like that we talked a little bit about the whole intention thing. I do want to say that with go the fuck to school, because there's a very, very real thing that I'm not kidding about the brain damage. The inability to complete one actual thought is maddening. I can't
stand it. It's a real thing.
I love having them all around me, but I need to be able to complete a thought. So yes, you have to get out, please. All of you out. But it matters very much to me that they leave. I don't care very much that they leave 3 jars of open random bullshit on the table. It's annoying and disgusting and not why God made me, but that doesn't bother me as far as get back here, clean that up, blah, blah, blah. I would rather not have that list of like, do these billion things to get out the door and have them get out the door feeling inspired and joyful for their day. I take that too far because the house is a goddamn disaster once they leave. And I should be a little bit more like, pick this shit up.
I know.
But it's very important to me to see them like chatting together and enjoying that process of get the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to get the fuck out, no doubt.
Yeah.
But I want them to leave feeling inspired and joyful and ready to share some light and learn some shit.
You can't expect kids, no matter what their age or development, to leave for school in the morning from an absolutely chaotic environment to sit down and be ready to learn at school.
That's the most important intangible to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'll stay until 10 a.m., be the stupid Cinderella.
Right, I know.
Because I want them to leave ready for that excitement.
How do we kind of win at both ends of that?
I don't strive for balance. I have found it to be the impossible thing to achieve. I suck at it.
You're saying that if they leave a few things on the table and they leave and they're happy and they're talking to each other and all of those meaningful, like real important things are happening and their day is going to move smoothly because of it. Yeah. Sometimes it takes till 10 in the morning to clean up. Sometimes not, but At the end of the day,
it's a luxury for everybody to have a stay-at-home mom because it eliminates that stress of like, hurry up, get your ass out the door because I have to go to these 30 other places, right?
Right.
But I also feel like I do not have a realistic understanding, honestly, of, I mean, I bet if we compared, this is where we could do that thing where we ask for moms to comment or say what they think.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm good at it and I don't have a good understanding of really how much they should be doing. I have very few expectations of the stuff as far as like in the house. I don't know. I feel like school's a lot for them today. And I feel like I may not make their lunches for them. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of moms do. I'm not nice enough to make their lunch. I need them to really own that for themselves. So I feel like, well, part of the huge mess is that they're disgusting pigs when they make their own lunch. They're horrible.
Right.
They don't close anything.
No.
They throw it all over the table.
And it's spilled everywhere.
But I can look at that piles of slime and crusty shit and say, but I'm happy because they made their lunches. And I'm that weirdo.
No, but that's not weird. That's good. Because
it's not.
Because the slime and the crust doesn't matter.
It does
in the moment because it's a pain in the ass and it sucks to clean it up.
But 25 times later, I am like, God damn to myself. I don't yell at them for it, but I am definitely under my breath. Motherfucking hell, I'm cleaning this shit up again.
Mm-hmm. Or the dog is up on the counter eating it.
Stop with the dogs. Oh my God, stop. You know what though? This is why it's so good to have this where we can talk about it, the stuff that actually sucks, because I think it does keep us focused on the big picture, which is they're leaving happy and motivated.
And they made their own lunch.
I always, if you're in kindergarten, you make your own lunch. Sometimes it's five apples in a package of chips, and that's, I hope, tasty for you.
I know.
If not, do better tomorrow.
But think about, okay, it's a life skill. It's being self-sufficient. And it's something that she can be proud of. Like, she opens up her lunch. This is what she chose. She's not sitting there bitching about this shitty bologna sandwich that her mom made.
With the little cheese chunks in
it.
No, and you know what? It must be really amazing in that moment for my first grader to open her lunch today. She didn't plan right. It didn't have an actual sandwich. So it was just all these little things of like packaged bullshit.
Fine.
Like organic Annie's overpriced fruit snacks
and whatever
little graham crackery things. I mean, but that must be some exciting shit when she opens it at lunch and everything's a snack and a treat.
Yeah. Because she chose it. I mean, you obviously are giving her the independence to choose what she wants to put in her lunch. She is putting it together. She's putting it in her lunchbox or her little bag or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's got to feel good, don't you think?
It's got to feel good for her and her self-confidence that like this is, she did this.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds silly and it sounds small, but it's really not.
No.
Not for a first grader. I think that's huge.
Well, and given that that's one of those things that's like a daily rhythm of life, right? Mm-hmm. No influencer is going to overpower the memory of, did your mother make your lunch for you or did you make your lunch? Well, we made our lunch. Remember mm-hmm. that time that all Frankie took was like apples and a bag of chips? Mm-hmm. Like four of them, not even cut up.
Yeah.
I'll put four apples in my lunch. Oh, go for it.
Fine.
When
you're starving when you come home, then you know for tomorrow that you're going to need to put something more substantial in your lunch mm-hmm. than just four apples. But I mean, I'm not even joking
when I say those are going to be those self-owned lessons are going to be the one thing that's stronger than the influencers.
Absolutely.
I'm going to write that shit down.
You want to go to school in 10 degrees in shorts and no coat? You know what? I am not going to pin down a 11-year-old and put a coat on.
That stress is not worth it.
You know what? My husband, who is slowly coming off track from being a more authoritarian parent.
Oh, nice.
Is starting to see that more.
Look at that.
Like, he would be like, you are absolutely wearing a coat, you know, like back in the day. And we're talking like early 2000s. And now, you know, I love the whole like natural consequences.
Oh, yeah. The logic-based parenting. Huge. Isn't there a thing like love and logic or something?
Yes.
It's very scripted though. I can't do scripts.
No, I can't either, but it's a real thing. The concept is a real thing.
Yes.
So like when my child was refusing to wear pants, it was like, in Chicago, it can get to like, you know, whatever, below zero sometimes in January, February. And my boys were wearing shorts to school and maybe a hoodie, mm-hmm. no coat, no nothing. Maybe a hat, but like a hoodie and shorts. And I would just be like, why are you doing this? I used to get really mad. Like,
is that the thing that you wanted to control? Was that one of the power struggles, like a battle that you chose?
Well, it was also along with the school. Like if you didn't bring a coat to school, you know, okay.
I know they still do that, but I let them own that. See, I'm not going to stand at the door and
they won't be allowed to go to recess.
Right. And I'm like, if you hit a person with the rule over there, you want to make them sit out? I support you.
Yeah, right. At one point when you were like a newer mom, were you like, oh my God, I don't want the school to think that I don't provide a coat for my kid or I don't send a coat.
No,
I got over it real quickly, but it's
my hardest, my most challenging. I'm trying to think of a better name to coin by that because spirited is overdone and stupid. I don't know. There should be some eloquent name for
the
like
book of,
What happens when a spirited child becomes a teenager? Then are we allowed to call them challenging and hard?
No, because then you just have an asshole child.
So my...
The spirited
my
spawn.
Grown up spirited child that is still that way, whatever. My oldest has always been my hardest. Mm-hmm. Still is. I don't care what name you put on the spirited bullshit. So when she was 2.5, I already was like, fuck that coat bullshit. Oh, you don't want to wear shoes and you want to walk on the ice? I don't care. Mm-hmm. I have so many other battles called, please stop screaming at me.
Right.
That I was like, shoes are not important. And I think that's part of you and I bring that because of our own survival, because not only do we each have 4, but we have 4 outlier kids.
But you know what's funny is not only the natural consequences, but my twin boys, when they were like, in first grade, second grade, whatever. They were still little and they were just wearing shorts and they were just wearing hoodies.
In the winter. Yeah.
And wouldn't bring gloves, wouldn't bring a coat, wouldn't bring, you know, and I'm like, okay, you know what, guys, if you want to freeze, then that's fine. So let me just tell you. So I happened to go, so it must've been February because it was freezing outside. So maybe it was like their Valentine's Day party or something that I was volunteering in. And I went to the school. And I went in the classroom and I was like doing all the games and stuff for the Valentine's party. And their classroom must have been, no joke, 80 fucking degrees in there.
Well, you run hot anyway.
Run hot anyway, but you know what? The boys didn't have I don't know why they didn't have the verbal communication to tell me in the mornings when I was trying to get them to wear pants or trying to get them to wear
that it was hot in there.
I don't know why they weren't just, mom, my classroom's super hot. Like they turn the heat up really high in the winter. So it's like when I'm sitting at that desk all day long in that miserable, smelly classroom, I am sweating to death and I'm dizzy and nauseous. And then when I got there, I'm like, well, no shit, you want to wear shorts every day.
Yeah, because it's Florida in the classroom.
It is. So I think that was like an eye-opening thing for me. You know,
maybe
what?
They know.
You know
not.
Your body temperature.
Yeah.
You know if you're going to be miserable. You're not going to go out there if you're going to be miserable.
Right, right. Well, and it's funny when they think that they can go without the outerwear. Like mine can easily walk to school without it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the recess time that they're like, oh, shit.
I know.
But if it's powerful enough that when they come home, they're like, I need a better coat. Hey. If you can make that choice for yourself, by all means.
And yes, by all means. And you know what? You don't have to wear it. Put it in your backpack.
I know.
You know, just bring it with you just in case.
Can you bring it with you so we don't get a phone call,
right.
Please? Because if your number is 630-420-something-something, don't bother us, please.
No, decline.
Yeah, voicemail is full.
And then you get the email that says, I tried to call you 4 times, but your voicemail is full.
It's full on purpose. Thank you so much. Because a lot of it, I think that moms, to keep it in the context of back to school, I do think that the schools are used to moms not being like us and wanting the children to be micromanaged. And I think the schools are trying to provide that. I just don't want that at all.
No, because where's the lesson?
I want the lesson. Please don't micromanage me. Stop calling me also.
I'm a grown-ass woman.
Now, like if there's a tiny bump, like I don't need the phone call.
No.
If other moms do, fine. I don't. Don't call me.
No.
But I do think that schools are trying to accommodate what the majority of parents want. And remember, you and I are these weirdos, right?
Right,
like,
totally.
We don't want to know if you're not in an ambulance, really. You can send me one of those cute little old-fashioned letters where in your cursive writing inside, it explains that my child bonked her leg on the playground.
Right.
Those are charming.
Yeah,
great.
Fine.
Backpack mail. don't please stop bothering me during the day.
Because like I'm saying, I haven't had a day yet where all my kids have been at school. So let's say today everyone goes to school and then they start calling me all day. I can't.
That's the thing.
It's like you they never get away from leave. It. Like you never get away.
I've had a day and I went for a massage because I'm trying to clear out my head a little bit, balance these chakra things, whatever.
Detox from the summer.
Don't call me, especially not on the first day. Like just pretend that I don't exist for one day.
Yeah.
Take them. They're there. Well, the reason I was getting all of the calls because of Frankie's broken foot. Because I tell you she broke her foot?
No.
Oh, it's too long of a story.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Of course
she
did.
She won't wear her boot.
Oh.
And then she's running on it. She won't slow down because she's Mowgli. They come unwrapped all the time.
Oh, my God.
So I had to go over there and, like, you know, dick around with this shoe, that shoe, and whatever. Yeah.
It's just never ending. So thanks for listening to our Go the Fuck Back to School episode today. I think it was very evident that because of all the many tangents we went on today, that we needed the 87.5% of kids back at school.
Yes.
Like, because now we don't even know where to begin. We're just like, ooh, let's go in this direction. Let's go in that direction.
So it was
just
really
kind
good.
Of like,
it was
back to school shit show.
Yeah. We're not going to change a thing about it because this is part of what we do where we just push the button and actually talk.
Yeah.
This is something we talked about when we were developing this, right? That we wanted it to be what we were actually doing.
I don't think it gets more organic.
I don't
that.
Either.
So
the ramblings on and the interruptions.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? I wish anybody that's listening that all of their kids are back to school 100%. If you have 87.5, I mean, like, hey, they're, you know, I guess it's a win.
Shit. Okay. But remember,
I'm trying to find the win.
Tangible and intangible.
It's
good, right? But it's so good to think about in a teenage context. Cause when they were babies, you were like, hey, I changed that diaper.
Yeah.
I changed 70 of them.
Yes.
Hooray.
Yes. Yes.
And now we have this opportunity with them being older to redefine the tangible and really look at that. Like, what does it mean to have older kids and to have these intangible, like your TikTok moment and stuff, right?
Well, and the reason I feel that is so important is because it is so fucking easy to get wrapped up in the difficulty and the negatives of having teens.
Most definitely. You can get stuck there and settle in there.
It can, I mean, talk about a vortex. You can get sucked in and it's really hard to get out. If you're battling with, you know, as the saying goes, like the bigger kids, the bigger problems.
Well, and we'll talk about those later.
Right. But so I think it's important that we do the intentions, that we look for the wins.
Look at my nails.
I mean, that's a win.
I got these nails are a win.
That's a win.
I got them done though, because I have this visual of me like literally clawing myself out of my grave sometimes. And people are like, how are you doing? I'm like, I've got one finger out of the grave. Do you see it? And that's why I did the nails.
See, and then let me tell you there's your intention. And then you did the nails. If someone sometimes will ask me like, hey, how are you doing today? I'd be like, well, I have one foot in the grave.
Oh, no.
You're talking about clawing your way out of the grave. And I'm thinking of how I keep falling in.
Oh, I'm just in there for right now and I'm okay with that because I know that I'm clawing my way out.
Okay, see, but you're in the right direction. See, you're moving up.
You're still
like to the east side. Going down and that's where we need to find. This is where I need help. This is where I need my attention.
This is why we are two moms and a mic. We're not lying when we said that we do this because we're helping each other.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I said it in the first episode of our very first episode. I said, hey, I think that this will help us too along the way. So as much as we're trying to help anybody else, provide a little bit of humor. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't really on point,
I know. I think I did all of the talking, but no. I needed to because I'm in my casket. But I did love how you said we were talking about kind of the tone of just back to school when before we pressed the on button. Obviously, we don't just say hi and press the button like we're friends and we settled and take our selfies and bullshit like that. But we, Corey, you made me laugh so hard. as you like. We want our listeners to know that they're not alone. You guys are not alone. Also, don't want to hang out with you. Because we were talking about...
Like, let's just get one thing straight.
We were talking about being very, very full. Well, okay. I call mine empty. I'm like, I have nothing for anybody. Like, don't talk to me. Leave me alone.
No.
As part of my survival strategy. But you made me laugh so damn hard when you're like, we want our listeners to know that they're not alone and are not welcome to have coffee with us.
Yeah, I'm not inviting you over. I'm just letting you know that, like, I'm here. I see
you.
We're
asking
for
a friend, okay?
Yeah,
we feel you, but we are not having cocktails with you.
No, no. I have enough friends.
Mm-hmm.
I have enough family, and mm-hmm. I certainly sure as shit have enough kids. I need and actually beg to death for some alone time.
I know.
And some quiet time. So no, I'm not looking to get coffee with anybody.
I know.
I want my coffee in peace.
I had people asking. So because I live like on top of the elementary school, I have people that are, and I love them and I do want to hang out with them, but I'm an extension of that community.
Yes.
Which is great for like the pre-pickup happy hour and everything. Mm-hmm. But also like, I just want to be alone to cry into my dishes.
Right. You have
so
to.
So can we shut me up and then make our next episode talking about the reality of crying into your dishes and trying not to be seen by your children when you're truly needing to cry?
Yes. Yes.
I'll just make note of episode 3 will be, wait, this is the other funny thing that people do, which I think is like the friend thing. I'm not crying. You're crying. What is that? I'm actually crying.
Because that is another
it's stupid
form of I'm asking for a friend. It's like I don't want to show that I'm crying.
I do.
I know.
Well, not to my kids, though. That's what we're going to talk about.
I have before.
Well, of course. I have, too. I do it all the time, but I don't want
sometimes
to.
Sometimes it's unavoidable.
I know.
I mean, like if you're, yeah, you know, emotions are a strong, powerful thing. So
we really don't have our cocktails this morning, but we still want to say to our listeners, cheers.
Cheers, mamas. Congrats on another successful beginning of the school year. Even if it's unsuccessful, I mean, it's
still started
and we'll all get there. We'll get there.
Cheers.
All right.